Talking season is officially here in a major shakeup in college basketball. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are getting into the nitty gritty of talking season with Auburn athletics and specifically Auburn basketball. With the portal coming to a close, the roster nearly finalized, still waiting on that wing position, that small forward position to be filled. We'll break that down when we get to it, but right now it's all talk and all a look ahead to next year, including the news that the NCAA tournament is expanding to 76 teams starting with the 2027 tournament. And we're going to talk about that specifically here in this episode. We'll dive into some Auburn-specific talking points to start things off, but mostly I want to dive into everything that's going into the NCAA tournament expanding to 76 teams and kind of what it means for Auburn and the rest of the SEC and my personal thoughts on it and just kind of, like I said, what it means for Auburn specifically. But for all the breakdowns, for all the discussion about Auburn basketball on the Barn Hoops podcast, make sure you're subscribed to the Barn Podcast Network on YouTube, where you can also hit the like button and then on your podcast platform of your choice. So you get all the updates and whenever these episodes are released as we continue through the offseason. And this offseason clearly getting off to a hot start with the expansion of the NCAA tournament. Pete Thamel of ESPN was the first to report it last week, where both the men's and women's basketball tournament will expand to 76 teams. And again, I think this is something that really gets into it, where it's been discussed over the last few years, to my point about talking season. Let me backtrack a little bit, because like I said, I was going to start with some Auburn talking. Last week, in the midst of all this announcement and the reporting and everything, Stephen Pearl was attending ambush events with Coach Alex Golish and the region's tradition playing in the Pro-Am up in Birmingham. And the discussion was a lot of, all right, the roster is basically done, or looking back at the decision to make the NIT. And I thought there were some very interesting answers there. And one thing that we're going to look that I definitely want to kind of go back on, but Coach Pearl talked about the culture of this roster and kind of making it seem like some of the teams of the past, whether that's the 2025 Final Four team, the 2019 Final Four team, the 2022 SEC champions, or the 2024 SEC tournament champions, all those teams obviously had characteristics and chemistry that this coaching staff is aware of, that a majority of them were a part of and helped build and were a large and really were a part of that chemistry and that character. And whenever this roster is truly finalized and we know exactly who is going to be playing where and everything that goes into that, I want to break that down and talk about the culture of Auburn basketball that goes back to Coach Bruce Pearl in 2014 to 2015 when he arrived on campus, because before then there clearly was no direction with this program or with anything involved with Auburn basketball, even prior to Tony Barbee. And I mean, and I don't even want to try and this too much with the coaches of the past, but there wasn't much to it. Auburn's last NIT before this NIT championship here in 2026 was in 2009, when Auburn didn't make it past the quarterfinals round and lost at home to Baylor. Prior to that, Auburn still hadn't done much in the NIT, much less the NCAA tournament. So I think that was a very important quote and something I want to dive into later when this roster is finalized. And then the other thing that was discussed was that decision to go to the NIT. Of course, we discussed it at length, and it's a little bit easier for Coach Pearl to talk about it now that the Tigers ran through the tournament, won it, brought home the trophy, and we'll hanging the NIT championship banner for the first time. And, you know, you get Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton back, and you have had a pretty successful portal haul. It's much easier to discuss it now. And he really did just make all the points that I think make the most sense. And one is just not taking your ball and going home. And this is all going to tie into the NCAA tournament expansion discussion here in just a minute. Because you go back to December when Notre Dame was left out of the college football playoff and invited to the Pop-Tarts Bowl. Obviously now the Pop-Tarts Bowl is one of those bowl games that has a ton of eyeballs on it. As far as TV viewership, it's a sold-out game and just something cool to be a part of now. And Notre Dame decided it didn't want to play in it against another team in BYU that was also thought it was snubbed out of the college football playoff. So Coach Pearl makes the point that they didn't want to do that. They did not want to be in that same breath. And also just look, yes, he's aware that the standards of this program are well above the NIT now. And now the NIT is even now, like it already had become a shell of itself after COVID when it got moved out of Madison Square Garden and teams started declining those invites and everything that went into that. But now it's even less with the expanded tournament field because of more teams getting in. So, yeah, teams already turned it down this past year, but a lot of those teams would have been in the NCAA tournament, including Auburn. So, yes, he understands that, but also knows that it was very important for this team and this program to continue playing and get a chance to prove itself and really do what it did. And that's bring back some key contributors from this past year's team in Taha Pettiford and Kevin Overton. Based off all those comments that he has made, I can't imagine you get back both of them without that NIT run. So that was a huge factor in that. Now let's get into the NCAA tournament expansion discussion. And listen, to the Auburn point, the Tigers would have been in this past year had this gone into effect for 2026. And you kind of look at it, Auburn would have been a part of, I guess, what would be the, I don't know what it'd be called now, but maybe the first 16, I don't know, where they have to cut it, the first 12, I guess, because it'll go from 76 to the 64 traditional bracket that we all know and love. Auburn might have been playing an Indiana in Dayton or an SMU or Miami of Ohio. Who knows what teams Auburn could have been matched up with. Oklahoma would have been in, San Diego State, New Mexico. A lot of those Mountain West teams that got left out and were in the NIT. I just, here is where my thing, because listen, obviously I would have preferred Auburn been in the NCAA tournament, the big dance, instead of the NIT this year. But that doesn't change my perception of expanding the NCAA tournament when it's unnecessary. It's not something that's been needed over the past few years. You could dial it back to 64 teams, I think, and what would you lose? I guess you'd lose the Tuesday and Wednesday games, but really, like, what is that? What does that gain other than? And I know, listen, I'm in this world. I get it. The TV revenue, everything that goes into that, and viewership. Of course, building the hype up to Thursday, all important. I get it. And most importantly to the NCAA is that cold hard cash. But it really feels like we're starting to tip over the edge some. We're really toeing that line of, all right, does this really matter? Because we know who's going to benefit from it. And to my point, Auburn would have been the teams that benefited from it this past year. And that's because Auburn's in the SEC, is able to schedule its non-conference schedules the way that it does, and it leaves a lot of room for error. Auburn was just one game above 500 at the time, I believe, of the Selection Sunday. So that's the thing, is while, again, I made my points and arguments of why Auburn should have been in, it was completely understandable on Selection Sunday. Was like, okay, Auburn's name's not called. Makes sense. I get it. Now that's not going to happen. It's all about getting your Auburns, Oklahoma, Indiana, even Cincinnati's in that discussion now, getting them in. Now, of course, the mid-majors like New Mexico, San Diego State, Tulsa, those are some names that might have made it, as well as a Belmont maybe. They could have gotten into the field with an expanded field. I just don't know. And you look at the way the first four has been played over the last few years in Dayton. Sure, you've had some exciting games. And I have an unpopular opinion. I think it's unpopular, at least, about the automatic qualifiers getting in as first four teams and now first 12 or whatever the heck it's going to be called going forward. I truly do. I actually think it's not a bad thing for these automatic qualifiers, because one, they're getting an NCAA tournament game no matter what. Yes, it sucks they don't get to do the real thing and try and knock off, and obviously half of them won't get to knock off or have a chance to knock off a one or two or three seed. But this gives them an opportunity, a realistic opportunity, to get a win in the NCAA tournament. I think that's a positive. That's a good thing. I'll look at it that way. And maybe this is me just trying to find some kind of glimmer of positivity in this. But I don't think it's this just horrible, horrible thing for these automatic qualifiers. Like I think it's good for them to get the spotlight in these games where, oh wow, they get an NCAA tournament win to the resume, get to celebrate that, get probably a few more eyeballs on them because they're in the spotlight. And of course, who knows what the schedule is going to look like now that you're playing on Tuesday and Wednesday throughout the day. But still, that's the aspect that doesn't really bug me as much as the 11 and 12 seeds that are going to be in the play-in games and likely just going to be some of those high major teams from the SEC, Big Ten, ACC, and Big 12 that didn't quite make it, the Big East as well, and not talking about the Belmont to the world, Indiana State a couple of years ago that didn't get in, Tulsa even this year. Like, those are the teams that you would hope it would help, but I just don't see that being the case. And I don't know, again, to my what I just said, I think that you could go back to 64 teams and the tournament would still be amazing and be the best sporting event in the world that you can imagine. It's obviously, it might not be the best way objectively to crown a champion, but it's absolutely the most fun way. It's the thing that just grips all of America every single year to tune in and watch it. And where I'll go there is that's not going to change. Going to 76 teams, everyone's still going to fill out their brackets going into that Thursday. Everyone's still going to be tuned in from the round of 64 on Thursday and Friday all the way until the national championship at the, you know, the late freaking tip-off that they have every year on a Monday. It doesn't matter. Everyone's going to be tuned in, and the ratings are still going to go up and all that. And it's going to be crowned as a success by the NCAA. Well, I still just doesn't really do much for me. It doesn't move the needle at all. And I hate that that's the case, but like, look, so here's the thing. What's known now is the first four, eight teams playing four games in Dayton, Ohio. It's expanding to 12 games played by 24 teams at two sites. They're going to try and keep that game or that site in Dayton. And then, I would guess they're going to go out west because you don't want to have, you know, a team have to travel back and forth like that, bounce back and forth from the West Coast to the East Coast and all that shenanigans, which I guess they kind of do now going to Dayton. But I don't know the everything. And reading Pete Thamel's report, the added finances would cover the expansion is expected to be a financial windfall for the NCAA and its members, but sources stress there would be a profit. The added finances would cover the additional logistics costs for both the men's and women's tournaments. The additional NCAA tournament units that would come into play and still deliver a modest financial upside. And yes, that's all it feels like we talk about anymore with college athletics and specifically your college football and college basketball. Okay, that's great. But let's look a week ago at what Arkansas did and probably started the trend of, and that's cutting sports programs. And it did it with its men's and women's tennis programs. And while, yes, I'm sure many of you watching or listening just don't really care about those programs at Auburn or wherever. Maybe you don't, maybe you do. And for me, like I've had a blast following along with Auburn women's tennis. Jordan Szabo, in his second year, has taken Auburn to heights it's never seen. The number two overall seed in a Sweet 16, they host 15th seed Duke on Friday at 5 o'clock in Auburn, and for a chance to go to the Elite Eight. Like, that's exciting. They've had more people go to the Arbro Tennis Center than ever this year. And yes, while those sports aren't generating revenue or anything like that, yes, they do come at a cost with travel and equipment and obviously salaries. Maybe not as much NIL, but that is a factor anyway. All of that, yes, while that does do that, but I just don't want this to end up being, you look back and like, man, if with these women's teams and these men's teams having to travel even more, and while I don't think it's going to be, I hope it's not going to be a factor at Auburn or even a lot of the SEC schools. I know I just mentioned Arkansas doing it. It's not about Auburn and those schools. It's about those teams that certainly don't have as much of a financial budget that an SEC school does. So you look at the automatic qualifiers, and this is where I go against my point of positivity about the automatic qualifiers, like Siena, Long Island, Queens, Furman, Tennessee State, Idaho, Wright State, Kennesaw State. Those are a lot of the teams that would probably be in playing games this past year had it been expanded to 76 teams on top of your UMBCs and Howards and Lehighs and Prairie View A&Ms that were in the first four. Those teams don't have the budget to be traveling like that. And yes, the NCAA says that it's going to have the profit where it's going to be covered and don't have to worry about it. But is that really going to be seen on the front end? Like, I find it hard to believe is my point, I guess. And sure, the TV ratings are going to be crazy on Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm sure everyone's going to want to get that sip right after Selection Sunday. They're going to want to get it. And it'll prove itself in that way. But I just, when a program like Arkansas is announcing that it's cutting sports, and then the following week we get something like this, it seems a little like, all right, maybe we're like I said, towing the line, not quite over it, but we're man, some programs seem like they have gone over the line, and that's something that I think is worth following. And like I said, while I know a lot of fans are probably, you know, they think, hey, look, if it's going to help our football and basketball programs win, and on top of that, baseball and those major sports, they're going to be for it. I can't agree with that. And there are obviously reasons to have those Olympic sports and those sports that are non-revenue sports. They aren't making the university or the athletic department money. They are there for a reason. And that's one, what I'll say is they are providing so college athletics are the front porch to a university. And of course, football, men's basketball, baseball, even gymnastics and women's basketball to an extent are providing that avenue in the way they promote themselves and are aired on television or anywhere else where a prospective student, I'm not talking about a prospective student athlete, I'm talking about a prospective student sees them on display and thinks, wow, it would be so cool. Like watching an Auburn gymnastics meet on television. So I'm sure someone's seeing, wow, that looks like a lot of fun. I'd love to go to college there. Then they see a men's basketball game inside Neville Arena. Like, wow, that's a lot of fun. I want to go. And then they see an Auburn football game and it's like, I'm absolutely going. to Auburn University. And while the men's and women's tennis and the men's and women's golf and the tracks and fields and swimming and divings aren't on television and aren't doing that, they are the avenue for a lot of those athletes that the student that now this is where I'm getting into the student athletes. Those students that are just they have a 35 on their ACT or whatever and a 4.0 GPA and they're going wherever they want. But on the other hand, you have the student athletes that want to go and have these experiences, but probably aren't able to afford it without sports and athletics. And they're able to go in and compete in swimming and diving or track and field or a tennis or whatever it is and go to the university and experience that, whether they're an international student, whether they're from California going to Auburn or they're from Florida trying to go somewhere in Washington. They're able to go and do that. I know this is getting crazy deep and not talking about Auburn basketball specifically, but again, this all goes back to the NCAA and trying to expand the NCAA tournament and just squeeze every dollar out of something that has quite frankly been perfect for the last 45 years. Does anyone disagree that the NCAA tournament hasn't been perfect? I know I said it's not the best way to crown a champion. Like, objectively, you don't have the best champion every year because of a single elimination tournament across three weekends, but it's still just the one, other than the Super Bowl, I would say, and maybe the Masters tournament, it's the one sporting event that just grips the whole nation and everyone is tuned in at some point. And what's special about the NCAA tournament is that it is three weekends. The Super Bowl is obviously 5 hours on a Sunday in February. The Masters is 4 days the weekend after the Final Four. But the NCAA tournament, I mean, people are watching Selection Sunday. People are watching from Thursday through Sunday, that first weekend. And then it's the primetime games and the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight leading into, obviously, the Final Four. And that's what's so special about it. And adding these games on the front end does nothing for me as a basketball fan, for me as an Auburn man, or just me as someone that cares about college athletics or sports in general. Like, this isn't gonna get the casual fan, I don't think, to really tune in more. It's not like an NBA fan that doesn't care about college basketball until the national championship or until they're paying attention to the prospects that they're going to be pro next year. They're not going to start watching before March because of these games. And that's my whole point, is this is all about providing access. And that's kind of what the statement was made. So one of the key arguments in favor of tournament expansion was improved access for teams to participate in the postseason, especially as Division I men's college basketball has swollen to 365 teams. 76 team field means just over 20% D1 teams will participate in March Madness. But again, is that going to give access to a Belmont or Tulsa that were kind of next up on the wins above bubble or the net right after Oklahoma and Auburn and some of those main teams? I don't think so. And that was an excerpt from Brendan Mark's article in The Athletic. I just think, to wrap this all up, I don't think the NCAA is out to accomplish anything but make a quick buck. And they know that the Tuesday and Wednesday of NCAA tournament week are an obvious filler where people are dying for basketball. And they've already got two games on each night. So why not make it a full day event? And that's exactly the reasoning for this. It's easy to read between the lines. It's as simple as that. So that was a long, long, long-winded way of saying, hey, I don't like this expansion. But guess what? Hey, look, it's good for Auburn. I mean, I'll look at it that way. I mean, as I said, Auburn would have been in the field of 76. Funny to say that. Had it this been expanded this past year. And I would imagine at some point down the road, I hope that Auburn is competing for 4, 5, 2, 1 seeds going forward, But at some point, Auburn will obviously be on the bubble and we'll get in because of this expansion, and that'll be great. But other than that, I just don't find much to find positive here. So let me know what you think in the comments, because yeah, it's good to be able to have more access like this if you're Auburn, but I just don't think this adds much as a college basketball fan for me personally. Like I said, it'd be great to watch games throughout the day on Tuesday and Wednesday leading up to the round of 64. But other than that, I'm just blah, whatever. So, again, we're entering talking season. This roster for Auburn is not quite ready yet. When it is, we're going to break it down, compare it to the rest of the conference, the rest of the country, and talk about expectations for next year, second year under head coach Stephen Pearl. Talk about some of the comments. We're going to continue to hear from Coach Pearl as things move on. And it's a great time to subscribe to the Barn Podcast Network, because it's not just him. Coach Alex Golish is going out and hanging out with Stephen on these ambush tour events. They're also great events. If you're in the area, they're going to Tampa. They'll be going also around the state. They'll be going to Texas as well. So if you're in any of those areas, it'd be a great opportunity to get to meet those coaches and hear from them and see what the look ahead is. And then obviously Auburn baseball looks as good as ever after that series win over Texas A&M and College Station. They're looking to be a national seed, hosting regionals and super regionals. And we'll have everything covered right here on the Barn Podcast Network, and then with Auburn basketball here on the Barn Hoops Podcast. So with that being said, thank you for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.